So that's my prayer this morning and this afternoon. Forgive me for saying that, but I need to know. I don't know what you think about when you come to a wedding. It's exciting for me to go to a wedding. We see a miracle happening. In my mind, there's a miracle happens today, and I don't understand why God designed it that way, that man can perform this ceremony, but God himself blesses that union. That's a miracle to me. Now, before we get into some of the why do we get married, what are some of the reasons and some of the do's and don'ts, and I would like to remind us of something that we never lose sight of. Whether you're here this afternoon, whether you're married or single, I want to remind us of something. In Revelation 19, there's a verse, a couple verses that I want to look at. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in the linen, clean, in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Now, I don't know what you think about this scripture. And to me, it seems like when we talk about a wedding, my mind goes to the church that we can be a part of. My mind goes to Jesus coming back for his bride. We have a picture here, and I want us to get that this afternoon. Now, the focus is on the wedding today for Brother Luke and Sister Rachel. And rightly so. We want to honor that. But I think it's more important that we, and I know Brother Luke would want us to, would feel the same way. Am I ready for that marriage supper of the Lamb? Am I ready? You know, we have a picture in Matthew 22. A certain king made a marriage for his son. He was ready to have the wedding. They went to invite these people. One said, I bought a farm. I can't come. Another said, I bought some oxen. I have to prove them. Another said, I need to go to my merchandise or maybe to my business. I can't come. Isn't that a sad picture? We can't come. What if nobody would have had time to come today? This is a Saturday afternoon. We probably had things that we could have done today, and nobody would have wanted to come. I was excited about coming to witness this. So what did they do? People made excuses. They made light of it. So the king said, well, send his servants out into the byways to invite people to come to this wedding. And the guests were furnished. They had enough guests so they could go on with the wedding. But there was one person. When the king came to meet the guests, there was one person there that didn't have on a wedding garment. My friend, how did you come in here? What did they do? He wasn't ready. And maybe there's someone here today that's not ready to meet our precious Savior. That's what I think about a wedding, is the church. Jesus is coming back for his bride. And we can be a part of that.
Today we have two people, and the miracle that I see is two people. They come together. They walked in here together as two different people. And they can leave here as one. That's a miracle. That's amazing to me. Why do people want to get married? And that's something that blesses me is in the beginning, in what we know as in the beginning in Genesis. We can turn back to Genesis, and we want to do that this afternoon. We want to just quickly look at some of the origin, the beginning, and how God planned a wedding. Plan for families. Plan for children. And gave us direction. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, God said, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Someone that's suitable. Someone that will help him. And that's, we've already heard a lot. I appreciated what Brother Jason shared. The things, the foundation, the principles that we need to maintain and practice for this to work. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. At that time, there was no helpmeet for him. But God took care of that. Where did the helpmeet come from? Beautiful. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife and they shall be one flesh. Isn't that a miracle? And that's why we consider marriage an ordinance. An ordinance is something that has a outside, something that we can see, and man can be a part of it with a spiritual meaning. An ordinance. Man performs the ceremony, but God makes the union. So we notice here, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. That's what he gave us to do. Now, am I saying that if you're here, you're not married, you're single, that's something lacking? No, not at all. Not everyone gets married. The Lord has an important work for them. We could go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and there Paul, the Apostle Paul, is saying it would be better if we wouldn't get married. Why? Because then you will focus more on the things of God instead of how you may please your spouse. But here in Genesis we read that it was that man needed a helpmeet. Now, we could also, there we find there in 1 Corinthians 7, only in the Lord. Again and again, God warned the children of Israel, don't mingle with the people that are not Christians, the people that are not following me. Why was God so concerned about the children of Israel to not mingle with the people of the world, to not mingle with idolatry? What was the cause or the reason or the concern that God had? He knew what would happen. They would be drawn away from God. So only in the Lord. Now, we have known Brother Luke for quite a few years, and I have so been blessed with his testimony. One area that he has put me to shame so many times, his knowledge of the scripture. I'm just so blessed with that. I wish, well, and Sister Rachel, we haven't known her that long. But I believe that she is a true child of God. And how God brought them together. That is such a blessing to me. Such a blessing. And I believe it's only in the Lord. Now, I am glad that in our culture, or in our practice, in our what we believe the scripture would teach us, that we wouldn't just try a marriage for a while and see if it's going to work, see if we can get along. And then if it doesn't, why, we'll do it again. No. When you leave here today, and if you, the vows that you will be asked, and when Brother Paul marries you, this is what God has joined together. Let not man put asunder. Now, is that what we've already heard this afternoon? Am I saying and feeling that there will not be any problems? No, not at all. Not at all. There's things to work through. There's things to try to understand. There's things that we need to communicate. And communicate, sometimes us men have problems with communicating. We know how we feel in our heart. I wish she would understand how I feel. But I'm not willing to share it, so I just close up. Communicate is very important in a marriage. Communicate. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such things, God is well pleased. We need to communicate. What? Therefore, God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. Now, I'd like to, those of you who have Bibles, I'd like to turn to Genesis chapter 5. We see order. We see God is designed it from the beginning, the home, to, if the Lord blesses us with children, we see order in the home. And I think we'll start in chapter 5, verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. One to another. You know, sometimes we think, well, the wife is supposed to submit to the husband. But in that verse it says, submitting one yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife. So there's order here. The head of the wife. But it doesn't just stop there. It says, even as Christ is the head of the church and he is the Savior of the body. And we look at this account. We look at this beautiful chapter here, these verses here. And again, we're looking and comparing it to the church, the bride of Christ. Christ is coming back for his bride. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, excuse me, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives even, now catch this, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Can we grasp that? Can we grasp that? Us older ones that have been married for a long time, how do I do that? To love my wife? as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. How do we measure up to that? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy, excuse me, and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. There we see the miracle. These two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. When we practice what God teaches us in his word, when we try to practice that with all our heart, it will work. When we're connected, like we heard earlier, connected to the vine. I love that illustration. We can't do it of ourselves. We're selfish people. I want my way. But when we're connected to that vine, we can submit to each other. Husbands, you can love your wife. Wives, you can submit yourself. You can reverence your husband. And it's not saying that, I mean, we make mistakes. We make many mistakes. I often have to think about the verses in 1 Peter chapter 3. Especially, we could read all of it. We don't want to take a lot of time. In verse 7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. That's serious. That your prayers be not hindered. Brother Luke, Sister Rachel, it's important that you have a family altar. A time that you together look into the Word of God. You study the Word of God. You pray together. It's also important that you have your own quiet time with the Lord. But I believe there is a great blessing in families when they take time together to look into the Word of God. And they ask God to direct them, to just be with them today. And if the Lord blesses you with children, we need much wisdom in knowing how to be there for them, to nurture, to teach them, to be examples for them. Very important. You will be asked to make some vows this morning, some serious questions. The Lord is blessing you with health right now. As far as I know, you have good health. But you will be making and asking if you can take care of her in sickness. You know, sometimes those are challenges. When there's something wrong, some health problems or issues that will you carefully consider about these vows? It would be so much better to not make a vow than to make them and not keep them. That's scriptural. So this afternoon, the Lord bless you. As you are asked these vows, I'm not sure if we did to everyone that I married, but Carolyn often put the vows in a picture frame, and hung it up in our, in gave it to them as a gift that they could hang up. You know, it's good sometimes to just be reminded again and again and again the things that I vowed, the things, the promises that I made. I believe that here today, when you stand and make these vows, I believe God is listening, and it's recorded in heaven. I believe that, and it can be so beautiful. May the Lord bless you as you start out life together. Wish you the Lord's blessings. Continue serving the Lord. Let's all stand for a word of prayer.